Well, good morning. What a joy it is to look out and see the really good number who've come out to worship our God this morning, to honor the rock of our salvation, to praise Him in song, to partake of the Lord's Supper. I really appreciated the words that Oscar had for us before we took the Lord's Supper. I was thinking, as he was talking and reminding us, people in those Old Testament days under the Levitical priesthood, they had that special holy day, and surely they must have come away from it thinking to themselves, we are such sinners. And we got to partake of a memorial this morning of our sacrifice. And we come away from it saying to ourselves, we are so forgiven. What a privilege it is to be a child of God. Thank you for being here this morning to honor our God and our Savior. The title of the lesson this morning is The Sheeple of the Shepherd. I don't know if sheeple is a word that's familiar to you. I've heard it quite a bit, and especially several times lately. But according to the dictionary, the word sheeple is a noun, and the first word that it uses to define it is it's derogatory, which means it's not a compliment. It's a noun whereby people are compared to sheep in being docile, foolish, or easily led. So, sheeple. I've heard people call that a lot lately, Christians, others. The word sheeple is often used in reference to those who blindly follow government directives, or who follow one media source or another, or who take to heart the pronouncements of a particular group in the scientific or medical field. It often refers to those who have been brainwashed by some vast conspiracy of the government or the media or social engineers or religious leaders. That's how the word sheeple is used. Typically, my observation, this is my opinion, those that use the word sheeple call others sheeple or often themselves actually sheeple. So be that ironic as it may, nonetheless, it seems to me to be the case. They believe themselves to be thinking for themselves when they are usually just sort of blindly following some other sheep or some other source of information that they believe to be trustworthy. I've observed, and I'm sure you have too, over the years, how spectacularly human beings lack critical thinking. How we just accept things, a lot of things, that really we don't have a lot of proof for. There are other things that we don't accept that are really obvious that we should. Reminds me of a saying I saw one time, you know, tell a man that there are billions and billions of stars and he'll believe you. Tell him that the paint is wet on the bench and he'll have to touch it. You know, so that's kind of how human beings operate. We're all more than just a little bit that way. A story ran in the Washington Post in 2005 about some shepherds in Gravas, Turkey, the country of Turkey, who watched as hundreds and hundreds of their sheep followed one another over a cliff. What happened was that one sheep sort of strayed away and went over the cliff, and apparently another sheep saw that and thought it was a good idea, and so he followed that sheep over the cliff, and one after another, until 400 sheep died at the bottom of that cliff. 1,100 others also jumped off the cliff, but they survived because the sheep that had already died sort of padded their fall, you know. 1,500 sheep following one another off a cliff. That's what people are talking about when they call one another sheeple. Sheeple are people who just follow one another blindly to an end that they're really probably not sure of or aware of. And in that context, the word sheeple has been derogatorily applied to Christians and quite a bit lately. Well, it's a blessing to be labeled sheeple if you're a Christian. It's like a lot of other things that Christians are labeled in derision. We shouldn't take offense to it. It should make us happy. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, that's to say bad things about you, when they cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Doesn't sound like being called names is all that bad a thing if you're called a name for following Jesus. And rather than taking offense and being hurt and sulling up and getting mad at the world, maybe we should look at such names as a badge of honor for following Jesus. We ought to expect derogatory comments from the world. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, it's going to happen. We've noticed in our Wednesday evening study in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you may be ashamed for your good conduct in Christ. When we don't engage in worldly behavior, when we don't go along with the agenda of the rest of the world, those who use the word sheeple to describe Bible-believing Christians, they think it's strange that we don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4. They malign you, the English Standard Version says. So in this world, when you stand up against drinking and materialism and sexual sins and same-sex relations, you are a religious sheeple and you might get labeled that. That's okay. It's to be expected. The thing about sheep is, as we've already noticed, that sheep stray. The problem with sheep is not that they follow the flock. It's not that they follow a shepherd in the flock. The problem is that they stray from the flock and from the shepherd. Spiritually speaking, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, you are like sheep going astray, but have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We have, all of us, Christians or not, at one point in our lives have surely strayed away. But it's not that, again, it's not the herd mentality that causes sheep to stray. That's often looked at as the weakness of the sheep. In fact, it's their strength if they have a good shepherd. We'll talk about that more in a minute. The problem is the desire to choose their own way, the desire not to flock, not to follow. That's where they get in trouble, initially at least. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, Isaiah writes, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Have you ever noticed that? The problem is not that we've stayed with the flock, not that we followed a shepherd. The problem is we have turned everyone to our own individual ways. It's our individualism, both spiritually and culturally in America, frankly, that is killing us. We have on our money a saying in Latin, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. But that's not typically the attitude of Americans. We are individuals. We have individual rights. We don't have to think like everybody else. We don't have to do like everybody else. Spiritually speaking, we have each gone astray. We've everyone turned to his own way. Those are the words of Isaiah. The psalmist puts it in Psalm 119, verse 176, like this: I have I have gone astray like a lost sheep. It was my personal choice. I'm not lost because I stayed with the flock. I'm not lost because I followed the shepherd, mindlessly or not. I'm lost because I went astray. There's the problem. We think we know the way to go. We're so smart, we're so clever, we're so self-assured, we're so confident. The wise man said in Proverbs 26 and verse 25, or 16 and verse 25 rather, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end are the ways of death. And in Proverbs 21 and verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. We all just think we're right. We all just know that we've got it figured out. But Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. So despite their tendency to flock and to follow, sheep actually, of course, go astray by not flocking and not following, as we've said. They go astray by going off in their own direction. Reading about how that happens most of the time, shepherds and those who study sheep have observed they get lost because they're in green pasture. When they eat, they keep their heads down. They nibble away, they move, but they never really look up much. And so they wind up in a place that they shouldn't be. We can focus so much on what is immediately before us, on the here and now, and we keep our heads down. And before we know it, we don't know where we are. We're lost. Jeremiah 16 and verse 12. God told the people of Jeremiah's day, "You've done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart, and no one listens to me." Later in Jeremiah 18 and verse 11, God tells Jeremiah, "Speak to the men of Judah and to its inhabitants, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster, devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way. Make your ways and your doings good." And they said, "This is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his own evil heart." There's the human predicament and the human problem spiritually. We don't listen to God. Sometimes we tell ourselves that we do when we're just listening to ourselves or the rest of the world or some religious leader. We need to be listening to God and not the dictates of our own evil heart. In the 95th Psalm, God, He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. What was the problem with the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt? The rebellion that's referred to here in Psalm 95. They were to be God's sheep, but they wouldn't listen to His voice. They listened to one another's voices, but not to God's. And He was displeased with them, with that generation. So that leads to the question, who is your shepherd? Who are you listening to? Whose voice do you follow? News media? Some religious friend? Some politician? Some professor you had in college? Some book you read? Oprah? Dr. Phil? You know who? Who's your shepherd? Rush Limbaugh? Who's your shepherd? Whose voice? Jesus is the good shepherd. And for Christians, his voice must surely dominate our lives. He says in John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He has proven his concern for us, his love for us. He has proven that our welfare, our well-being, both here and in eternity, was his greatest concern. And so if we are his sheep, we follow him, we hear his voice, and we follow and hear, in essence, no one else. As Jesus introduces himself as the good shepherd in John chapter 10, he says in verse 2, that he who enters by the door, talking about the door of the sheepfold, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He knows us intimately. He knows who we are. He calls us, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Only listen to that one voice. They only know that one shepherd. Their affections are not split between shepherds. They don't listen to this and follow this sometimes and then something else over here. They don't compartmentalize their lives so that here I'm following this shepherd and here I'm following that shepherd and here I'm listening to somebody else. They follow the one shepherd. I read an account of some Americans who were visiting the West African country of Niger not too long ago. And in the little village that they were visiting, which is a village where there were a lot of sheep, and they shepherd the sheep as they did in ancient times, even still today. And there was actually, while these Americans were visiting there, a shepherding competition. Who's the best shepherd? And part of the competition, one of the events of the competition was that you had two shepherds leading their flocks. And there was a course that they had to follow. And at one point, the courses crossed. And the winner of this competition, when the two flocks crossed, each following its shepherd, the winner of the competition was the shepherd that came out on the other side with his sheep still following him and not the other shepherd. When we get out in the world, a lot of flocks, a lot of shepherds, who do we follow? There's only one that's good. There's only one that's worth following. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I'm known by my sheep. John 10, 14. John 10, 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Alan C. Emery tells of a night that he spent on the plains of western Texas with a shepherd. The shepherd had about 2,000 sheep. He was working them with some dogs. They were staying out in the night with the sheep. The shepherd built this huge bonfire. And the sheep sort of gathered around. And as the night went on, in the middle of the night sometime, they heard a coyote wail in the distance. And they heard another one answer on the other side of the flock over here. And the shepherd stood up. The sheepdogs were lying around the fire. The shepherd, all he does is he goes and throws several more logs on the fire. The fire blazes up. He stands by the fire. And Mr. Embry records, that as he looked out in the darkness, all he could see were these little points of light, the reflections of the eyes of the sheep, all looking at the shepherd. When things get hard in life, when we're threatened by unknown forces in the darkness, look to the shepherd. We have surely, if it never happened before, come to understand in the last 6 or 7 months that human beings don't have all the answers. That we don't know where we're going. And we can't solve our problems. If there has ever been a time when everyone should be turning to the shepherd, surely it's now. The darkness of tomorrow, and I call it darkness for a reason, the path of our feet is not clear before us, individually or as a nation. But it's clear to the shepherd. We need to trust him. And that leads me to really what I wanted to talk about. And I know I preached a lesson not too long ago about us being sheep and Jesus being our shepherd from Psalm 23. But I wanted to get to another point this morning that I think is vital for us in this day and age. Jesus, as our shepherd, has all authority over everything and everyone, but especially over his flock. He is described in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 as the chief shepherd. He says all authority in heaven and on earth was given to him. We must recognize that he has authority, but recognizing his authority and submitting to it are two different things. There are a lot of folks in this world who would say, sure, Jesus Christ has all authority, and then they listen to all sorts of other shepherds in their lives. Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Luke 6 and verse 46, he asked the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? And in 2 John, verse 9, everyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. When we run ahead of the shepherd, when we run away from the shepherd, we don't have God. We must look to our shepherd and no other for direction and guidance and peace. Back again in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 50 and verse 6, God says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They've gone up from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 15, God says, I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down. Strange thing about sheep, they don't lie down unless they're really comfortable. When they're fed, when they're watered, when they're free from danger, when they feel at peace, they'll lie down. It doesn't take much to startle a sheep. People who've worked with them out in the western United States say that one jackrabbit jumping out of a thicket can cause a whole stampede. Philip Keller, who wrote a number of insightful works, known especially for writing a Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm, said he one time was tending some sheep, and he had a friend at him with one of those Pekingese dogs, you know, the little lap dogs. Maybe some of you have one. And the dog hopped down from his owner's hands, and 200 of Philip Keller's sheep took off across the pasture, running from a Pekingese. It takes a lot to get sheep to lie down. What did God say? I will make them lie down. They're going to be at peace because I'm their shepherd. And even in difficult times like now, as a nation, others of us going through very difficult times in our personal lives, we can be at peace because the Lord is our shepherd. We are so blessed to have Him. Take advantage of that. Listen to His voice. I'm telling you, the key to right now, to this moment in time, to making it through it, to still experiencing joy, to listen to the voice of the shepherd and follow him. In the beautiful chapter, Ezekiel chapter 34, the Lord lets us know, as our shepherd, how blessed we are to be his sheep, to be his sheeple, to follow him blindly, if you will, to listen to nobody else, if you will, to not so much have to think for ourselves, but let him do the thinking and the choosing and the guiding. Just listen to him. They shall no longer be a prey for the nations. What's going on in the world? It doesn't matter much to the sheep of the shepherd. Nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. You afraid? Don't be afraid. The Lord's our shepherd. They shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. And in case you're slow about metaphors, God makes it really clear. I am your God. You are men. We got that? We're men. We're human beings. He's God. Listen to him. Follow him. Trust him. How's your life going right now? I may be talking to somebody who's not been trusting God, maybe because you've never known to trust him. This morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and died for your sins, if you're willing to confess that and have him be your shepherd, lead you for the rest of your life, if you'd be baptized in water for the remission of your sins this morning, he'd be your shepherd. And maybe I'm talking to somebody this morning who's gone astray, who's living in fear and anxiety and trouble because you've turned away from the shepherd, who's followed the dictates of your own heart rather than the ways of God. And if that's your case this morning, we bid you return to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?